Energikommisjonen har gitt marsjordre. De ønsker mer av alt, raskere. I Europower stiller vi spørsmålet, hvordan bygge mer kraft raskere, uten dødsfall? Kan IT spille en rolle her? Se merkraftraskere.no og ta gjerne kontakt dersom dere har en løsning som kan redde liv.
Looking at what the EU does, big countries like Germany, but also smaller ones like Portugal, I think that we will see the creation of hydrogen as a commodity, much like gasoline or diesel is today.
You are listening to a podcast episode from Enerwe, a Norwegian news magazine for the energy industry. This episode contains content marketing from the Norwegian Hydrogen Conference.
The Norwegian Hydrogen Forum recently arranged a digital event focusing on the role of hydrogen in the energy transition. My name is Skjule Christian Aamodt, and I'm the CEO in Enery. In this podcast episode, you will meet experts and politicians that participated at the conference.
Greenstat is going to be an owner and operator of green hydrogen production plants. So that means that we will build and own our own hydrogen production plants, either by ourselves or mostly it will be together with partners. And then we will base it on the best available technology to provide the cheapest green hydrogen to the market.
Vegard Frihammer is the CEO in Greenstat, and he was one of the presenters at the digital conference. He talks about green hydrogen. Do you know the difference between green, grey and blue hydrogen?
So let me start by green, because that's basically our core technology. So an electrolyzer takes water and splits in two by applying electricity. So that means that you get a hydrogen molecule which is completely green as long as the electricity is green, assuming wind, solar, hydropower. Then you get a green hydrogen molecule. This green hydrogen molecule carries a lot of energy and can be used in many different industrial applications, but also in different transport solutions.
Jon André Løkke is a CEO in Nel.
When it comes to gray, that's when you use a fossil source, either oil, coal, or natural gas, and you extract the hydrogen molecule out of that fossil source. So, for example, if you want to extract the hydrogen out of coal, you also make, per kilo of hydrogen, you make 20 kilos of CO2. If you want to extract the hydrogen out of natural gas, per kilo of hydrogen, you make 10 kilos of CO2. So that's why we call it grey hydrogen, because it's basically based on fossil sources. Now, blue hydrogen is where you then try to mitigate on creating all of this CO2, the 20 kilo and the 10 kilo I just mentioned. You try to capture it and store it. And that's why we talk about CCS. That's why Norway is contemplating whether they should invest, because then we could capture the CO2 when you create the hydrogen and you can just try to store it.
Nils Røkke is the Executive Vice President Sustainability in SINTEF and is also the Chairman of the European Energy Research Alliance, which is the largest energy research community in Europe. He emphasizes the connection between CCS and hydrogen.
There's a lot of talk about blue hydrogen and there's a lot of talk about CCS, but as we know, blue hydrogen cannot be present without CCS becoming a reality. So I think it's time for the government to see these two strategies together, both the CCS technology and strategy and the hydrogen strategy.
Let's go back to Jon André Løkke in Nel.
The beauty with green is that you don't create the problem in the first place. Your hydrogen molecule is automatically green.
Wait a minute. Why don't we just go all in for green hydrogen? Will it be a future market for hydrogen produced by natural gas?
We believe that in the long run you will need both technologies. We believe that green hydrogen can be a stepping stone because you can start with lower volumes.
Birgitte Ringstad is Executive Vice President European Wind and Solar in Statkraft.
There will also be different industry applications. Green is modular and can be close to the consumption. While blue is at scale and will be produced and distributed, for instance, through pipelines.
The Norwegian Hydrogen Conference is streamed from the Arctic Securities offices. let's have a talk with Harald von Heiden, partner and head of renewables in Arctic Securities.
We will finance companies who have good ideas, good business plans and good management within the hydrogen space.
At the conference, Harald von Heiden presented different scenarios for hydrogen.
The scenarios are derived from the European Green Deal document published by the EU. And I think what we have done, or rather my analyst colleague Hans Gunnar Norvik has done, that is quite unique. He has sat down and really read the document very thoroughly, and then he said, if these scenarios are actually to come true, to fruition, this will have dramatic impact for demand for power and demand for green power. The numbers are quite staggering, and I alluded to them in the presentation. If you just look at, again, total EU power demand at the moment being 3,000 terawatt hours, and then just thinking about what needs to be done to, in terms of renewable electricity, to replace those parts of these 3,000 terawatt hours that are non-green. And at the moment, 60 or 70% of these 3,000 terawatt hours are coal, gas, nuclear. And we know these have to be replaced. That's a big number of renewable energy that has to be built. But then if you add the demand that will come from a green hydrogen economy, you can then more than double that 3,000 terawatt hours figure to arrive at 8 or 9,000 terawatt hours. So it's a massive expansion of renewable energy that is embedded in the target of a green hydrogen economy. Of course, we don't believe that the economy is going to be purely based on green. So this is just one yardstick. The other option, of course, the other scenario is a blue, which still will mean a massive expansion of electricity demand. So the truth will be somewhere in between. But anyway, as that was my argument, that as an investor in renewable energy, you need to have a very clear picture of what the demand for your product will be in the future. And the number one determinant for how big this demand will be is which scenario of hydrogen economy will be realized.
There is a great interest in hydrogen all across Europe. Bo Nordmark is Industrial Strategy Executive in EIT Inno Energy.
I think that EIT is a company that has the role to develop new technologies and new companies in the renewable sector. And so we are supporting that across Europe. And of course, hydrogen is one of the areas where we already have invested in some companies, and we see a big expansion coming.
Can you give one example of a company that you have invested in?
Yes, we have invested in, if you take it in small scale, in companies that made actually hydrogen-powered bikes. But we also have electrolyzers, for example, and we have been also in fuel stations for hydrogen.
What are you looking for when you invest in a hydrogen company?
Well, what we're foremost looking for is the potential, and the potential in making a difference in the power sector, in the transport sector, in the transformation towards a more green society. That's what we are looking for. And so we have criteria like possibilities to grow and environmental impact.
But why do we need hydrogen? Why don't we just use batteries? We ask Jon André Løkke in Nel.
Hydrogen is an energy carrier, and you cannot solve everything with battery. For example, you cannot make CO2-free steel with batteries. You can't make green ammonia with batteries. So hydrogen is, for these industrial applications, they already rely on hydrogen, or we can replace coal with hydrogen. Then we absolutely need hydrogen. And there is no way that, batteries is not really even relevant.
Thibault Paquet is the Director of Powertrain Division R&D Toyota Motor Europe. He explains that the solution is not only one type of technology.
Yeah, so Toyota has as a target to, by 2050, reduce CO2 emissions by 90%, but for the entire world. So of course that means in some regions we have to achieve 100%, but globally we want to achieve 90% reduction. And we think we don't need just one type of technology. We need a mix of technologies. So we will electrify our vehicles because we think that's necessary, but electrification that starts with plug-ins, battery electric vehicles and fuel cell vehicles.
Fuel cell vehicles. Do you know what a fuel cell is?
The fuel cells, I'd say, are the converters of hydrogen.
Åseby is the business manager stationary applications in PowerCell Sweden.
So if you want to use hydrogen for something good, like making electricity and heat, you will have to have a fuel cell to take it through. So fuel cells and fuel cell systems, that is what PowerCell is making.
Let's move from technology to politics. Tina Bru is a Norwegian oil and energy minister. She presented the Norwegian hydrogen strategy at a digital conference. What are the key points in the strategy?
Well, basically, we look at, like I said, what are the barriers today? Where do we have our competitive... Where do we stand out in regard to other countries? What are our strengths and how can we compete and what should we base that on? And like the strategy shows, we have key competence in maritime and other industries that's really important that we can play on. We have lots of renewable energy. We also, of course, have lots of gas. And right now we are, of course, trying to lift the whole carbon capture and storage project here in Norway, which will be a really important part in making blue hydrogen an alternative use with natural gas. So that's basically, like, in really short terms, what the strategy goes into. But it's of course a large document with many things.
We haven't had the time to digest the content of the strategy yet, but from the presentation and the press conference this morning, we see and we conclude that we are happy that there is a strategy on the table. But I think we need to make it more oriented towards actual targets than what we hear from the government.
Stefan Møller-Holst is the chairman of the board in the Norwegian Hydrogen Forum and the vice president of marketing hydrogen technologies in SINTEF.
First of all, I think the clear ambitions to foster the hydrogen-oriented economy from which Norway would benefit a lot through value creation, I think we need much stronger incentives to kickstart that together as a joint venture between public and industry or public and private sector.
Ingebjørg Tellenes Willemsen, the Secretary General in the Norwegian Hydrogen Forum, agrees.
I do believe that hydrogen would play a significant role in the future energy mix as a sustainable solution. And I have high hopes that this strategy, even though it doesn't seem to be quite perfect yet, but I hope that this could lead to a constructive debate and a dialogue with the government to improve the strategy and to make those measures that we need to implement hydrogen. Because we hear now that the companies in Norway are ready to go. They are ready to scale up. We don't need only pilots and demo programs. We actually are ready to go. And yeah, as many have said today, the train is leaving the platform and we should get on that train right now.
At the digital conference, there was a debate about the Norwegian hydrogen strategy, both at the scene and during the lunch.
I'm very disappointed. It's basically a summary of existing policy measures and a description of the situation.
Marius Holm is the CEO in Zero.
And no target, no new incentives, no new plans. So in my view, this is not a strategy.
If you had been the person that wrote the strategy, what would you write?
The least they should have put into the strategy would be a clear signal to the government bodies supporting clean technologies like Enova to support the industrialization of the hydrogen value chain. We have a lot of projects going on in the heavy industries and in the transport sector, but they are rejected because they are utilizing mature hydrogen technology like electrolysis. But the problem is that we need to get a critical mass. We need to get volume and we need to get industrial projects up and running. The way solar, wind and batteries have become competitive is through large-scale industrialization, which was started with very strong market incentives and subsidies in the early phase. We need the same for hydrogen. We cannot focus only on technology development. We need to focus on industrialization. And that signal is completely lacking in the strategy from the government.
I just talked with Marius Holm in Zero, and he was a little bit disappointed that we're not using this crisis to scale up the green shift. Can you comment on that?
Well, I don't really 100% agree with him on that, because it's important to remember that a strategy is not the same as a state budget or other funding. Funding has to happen in other processes, like yearly over the state budgets and other things. But we have recently come with a big green restructuring package in light of the whole pandemic situation and how we can accelerate the green shift using this opportunity, like Marius is pointing to. I agree with that, but I don't agree that we haven't done this, because there's actually 3.2 billion Norwegian crowns in this package, and a lot of it is towards Enova, which is one of the main tools that we have to also lift new technologies and to support, for example, hydrogen. So we really do have this focus.
Let's go back to Birgitte Ringstad in Statkraft. Why do we need hydrogen? Why not just use solar, wind and hydropower?
It is our clear conviction that clean hydrogen needs to be part of a solution for sectors which are not suitable for direct electrification, as for instance EV charging is, but you have industry applications, you have heavy transport and shipping, where you need to look at other solutions, and there we believe hydrogen will be instrumental.
I'm quite optimistic despite the quite weak strategy that we saw today, because I see that other countries are actually moving.
Daniel Rasvidal is the CEO in Kunnskapsbyen Lillestrøm.
Because they don't have any choice. We have too much of a luxury choice in Norway, being a rich country and also, of course, being heavily dependent on oil and gas today. But we need to look into the future and see what's coming and not lean too heavily on today's industrial structure.
My name is Skjul Kristian Aamodt, and I'm the CEO in NRE. It's been a great pleasure to participate at the Norwegian Hydrogen Conference and to talk with speakers and participants at the digital event. I will let Tina Bru, the Norwegian Oil and Energy Minister, get the last word in this podcast episode.
What role can Norway play in the future hydrogen market?
Well, I think we have great opportunities because we're positioned very good to both produce green hydrogen but also blue hydrogen. And for hydrogen to be a solution for the future, it has to be low or zero emissions. And I think we can play a key part there, mostly because we're already such a big energy nation, and I think we will continue to be so in the future.
You are listening to a podcast episode from Enerwe, a Norwegian news magazine for the energy industry. This episode contains content marketing from the Norwegian Hydrogen Conference.